This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Rate Again on Enterprise. Good morning, Frieda Liu here. It's also Motivational Monday. We've got Joseph Tan from Leadernomics joining us today. And today we're talking about stretch goals versus stretch experiences, which is a very interesting topic. Do explain yourself.
Good morning, Frieda. Well, stretch goals versus stretch experiences. When organizations talk about stretching their employees for greater output, usually the first approach is to give them higher numbers, you know, the big, hairy, audacious goal. But just playing the numbers game alone is not enough. Okay. I like to say that playing the numbers game alone will only numb your employees.
Okay.
So you need to deal with several motivational elements. And in particular, you need to spend some time to raise the human spirit before raising the numbers.
And I know it's because it's easy, like if you're talking about the salespeople, right? Because that's so easy, right? You give a number, I increase your number by 10%, 20%. So it's almost quantifiable, right? And I'm sure we'll talk about it as well. Where, how about the rest of the employees who don't have numbers, right? What do we do with them? But you're right, right? So when you stretch these goals, they don't feel motivated to do it. They just switch off or they numb themselves, right?
Yeah. And it's not only just about the numbers alone, but the whole experience as to how the numbers are framed and how it is communicated.
Yeah.
I remember dealing with a client a few years ago, and the salespeople were leaving the company in droves. And when I had focus group conversations with the salespeople, they say, Joseph, it's not about the numbers. When we join the competitors, the numbers are even higher. We leave because of the way the numbers were communicated.
Yeah.
The management didn't engage with us. They didn't negotiate with us. They didn't listen to our opinion or ask our ideas on how it could be executed. So there's this whole concept of engagement and ownership that needs to be addressed before even fleshing out the numbers.
It's a case of, here's the numbers, do it. Right.
Yeah. I mean, without, or else, do or, it or else.
You know?
Yeah.
So or else they left lah.
So most of the time, if you keep pushing this mantra, the or else happen rather than the do it. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Now, is it possible then to motivate employees to achieve high performance other than pushing the numbers? I mean, how do you go about doing it?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, organization leaders need to know how to reframe the goals. I'm not saying that you shouldn't set any goals, but you should reframe the goals so that it become more purposeful. What's the end game like? How does achieving the results bring us closer to the vision of the team, the common good that we are going to achieve as an organization? Because by and large, we are all emotional creatures, and you will find that effective leaders don't begin their meeting by talking about the numbers. They begin their meeting by telling a story, by giving the employees a whiff of fresh air, by saying, hey, what you did last week made a difference in our clients' lives, and this is the testimonial, and this is where we are headed together as an organization. When we achieve our numbers, this is what significant results we are going to get. That, I think, at the end of the day, just raises the whole ethos and experience, and everyone say, yes, sign me up. So that's the main duty of the leader, to motivate, then only to measure. Most people would measure first, then after that, oh no, I need to send them for team building to motivate them. But you've gotten it out of sequence.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So it's always the team building session is usually after the fact, right?
Yeah.
and not before the fact. Oh, they'll do it, you know, the rah-rah before the year ends, or before the start of a new year, right?
Yes.
You know, so when you talk about this, right, you also mentioned that the kind of pressure, that there's a pressure to go beyond the job description, there's pressure to go beyond the skill description. What do you mean by that?
I would say that in order to stretch our employees, there is the necessity to apply pressure. But we need to apply the right type of pressure. What I mean is that we need to take into account the right experiential elements that would help the individual to speed up their learning curve, to stretch their capacity and capability, and to expand their horizon. Meaning, a person's performance is very much connected to his development as a growing individual. So if you as a leader, you are able to not only help the organization to grow in the numbers, but in the process of growing the numbers, the employees experience personal growth. They experience a stretching of their personal capability.
Right.
Then the whole growth process becomes more holistic. That's why I mentioned that if we want to apply the right type of pressure on our employees, we should help them to go beyond their job description and also to go beyond the skill description that is required for their job.
Okay, so to go beyond that, right? Mm. So how do you get employees to be willing to go beyond their jobs to reach their stretch targets?
We can do it in a very practical way. Mm. The first practical way is it's actually a leadership diagnostic question.
Mm.
The team leader or the manager needs to ask himself or herself this question even before you start dishing out the stretch goals. And the question is this: am I providing a clear and challenging vision for the team before I even talk about the stretch numbers? I like to say this: the bigger the vision, the smaller the complaints. Sometimes I get managers telling me, "Joseph, there are so many complaints from my employees. My team members will complain about this or complain about this. Every day I'm facing a barrage of complaints." Then I would like to ask a follow-up question. How clear is your vision? If I were to ask all of your employees, what would be that vision statement they give me in 5 seconds? And inevitably you find out that the amount of complaint that a manager receives is actually directly affected by the clarity of the vision.
Hmm.
That means if you don't have a clear vision for your team, don't be surprised if the complaints come about. Because people then start creating their own mini vision of how things would be. And that's how silo mentality, territorial behavior starts.
So if you start talking to all the employees and they're all saying a different answer of what the vision is, that means there's no clarity in that.
That's right. That's why the capable leader is not one that sings a new song every month. They keep singing the same tune every week, every month, and there is such a stability to their vision for the whole team that people can almost complete their sentence for them when they open their mouth to speak. Yeah.
Right. So, for example, in this case, say it's sales, right? Say it's the amount of sales. Is it right to set a vision then, we want to be the number one radio station in terms of revenues? Is that a right thing to say?
I would say that's part of the right thing to say. Mm-hmm. That's one side of the equation. The other side of the coin is that we want to be the number one radio broadcasting station because. I mean, for example, if you look at AirAsia's vision, AirAsia's vision is not now everyone can fly. That's
to cut costs.
That's a slogan, you know.
All right, okay.
You know, their vision is to serve the 3 billion people in Asia that is inadequately connected because of high cost fares.
Mm.
So there is a common cause, CAUSE. To what the company is all about. So when you have a common cause that rally everyone together, then you won't be distracted by the cost, the COST. So your CAUSE has got to be bigger than the COST. So before you start cost cutting, think about your cost clarifying.
All right. We're talking about stretch goals versus stretch experiences. I'm here with Joseph Tan from Leadernomics. And then we'll talk about other considerations and factors that we need to take note of. So stay tuned to Raise Your Game on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Bluff-free medium. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Good morning, Frida Liu here. It's Motivational Monday and Joseph Tan from Leadernomics here. We talk about stretch goals versus stretch experiences. That's a very interesting one. And of course, you were talking about the cause, you know, being clear with the cause before, you know, we go into a cost-cutting kind of exercise as well, right? And sometimes that very simple question, am I providing a clear and challenging vision for a team before I even talk about the stretch numbers, right? because it's easy. I think like with sales, it's very easy. Here's a number. Go and do it, you know. But what are the other considerations, factors that we leaders need to take note of when our team members or employees are unable to reach their stretch targets?
Here's where we talk about not just only about stretching our employees. We need to talk about the sustainability factor. Mm. Because unless we are able to provide an environment where the performance is sustainable, the more you stretch your employees, you're going to stretch them beyond their breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's important as a prerequisite to helping our employees to up their game. You must look at their motivational needs. Mm. Not so much as what they do when they turn up for work, but why they do what they do.
Mm.
You know, if our leadership is just focusing on what, then performance management is so easy.
Yeah.
I just need to come up with a checklist, put it in front of your face, and you should be able to get it done. But you and I know that it's very different. It's very different. So that's why when it comes to meeting the demands of stretch expectations, employees need to be working in an environment where they have the opportunity to do what they do best every day. Mm. So the second diagnostic question that we should ask is this: am I building the skills of my team towards their area of strengths?
Huh.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, after 5 decades of research, Gallup came to this conclusion: there is no such thing as a well-rounded individual.
Okay.
There's no such thing. No one can be good at everything.
Right.
Except for parents who think that their 6-year-old can conquer the world and start sending them to all sorts of enrichment classes.
Right.
There is no such thing as a well-rounded individual.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you say that, though, am I building the skills of my team towards the area of the strengths? It's really sitting down with each individual and working out, you know, what is good for them, how do your strengths fit into the company, and if it doesn't fit in, maybe it's time to even bid farewell? Does it get to that?
I think you brought up a very relevant point. Although we love to talk about having a collaborative environment and teamwork, it always starts with the individual fit question. How does this individual fit within my team? Because if you don't take the time and effort to answer this question, what you get later on is a misfit.
Right.
You know, and misbehavior comes when people have a misfit. So that individual conversation with your team member on a regular basis, finding out, hey, what do you enjoy about what you do?
Mm.
And if you find them performing very well in a particular task, ask them, why do you like to do it? Because you could have 2 salesperson who consistently meet their numbers, but they could meet their numbers for different reasons.
Okay.
One love to meet the numbers because of the excitement of meeting new people.
Mm.
The other love to meet the numbers because of the excitement of doing in-depth marketing research.
Right.
Now, if I'm a one-size-fit-all manager and I think that all salespeople need to meet new people all the time, then what I'm doing is I'm boxing my employees and I am not tapping on the richness and depth of the diverse strengths of my team members. And I lose out on the diversity of what we can achieve more as a team. So that's why just working on skill description alone, it's not enough. It's just an easy way out. We again need to reinstate that basic discipline of having regular strengths-based conversation with our employees.
And I'm sure sometimes you would have met people who initially did very good in sales, did everything, and suddenly lost the mojo, lost the motivation.
Yeah.
What kind of conversation should you be having? What happened? I mean, you know, what do you do then?
I remember there was a director in my class, and after we went through this whole concept of skills and strengths and engagement, he made this very interesting remark, and there was a very somber look on his face. He said, "Joseph, I've been promoted a few times now. Every time I'm promoted in a position where I get to do less of what I used to enjoy doing."
Mm.
And after After thinking about it, I said, Joseph, I think I need to have a heart-to-heart talk with HR because I'm moving further and further away from my first love. I am moving further and further away from the real motivation of why I joined the organization in the first place.
Right.
So that's why I feel that organizations, especially those that have that are large enough and have a wide pool of experiences and positions, to be generous. We need to be generous to move our people around. In fact, in Lideronomics, we encourage our employees to ask that question, should I be where I should be after 2 years? So we've got people that move from sales to HR, from HR to client management, because we realize that people grow. They cannot be confined just to a list of skills description that describe what they like to do when they first joined the company. So we just need to keep in step, you know, with our employees' motivation. And not many of them would wear their motivation on the sleeve and say, boss, this is what I want. We need to draw it out from them.
Right. Okay. And yeah. I guess and keep that door open, that line of communication open. And there's nothing wrong with you. You decided, hey, actually, I want to do something else.
Yeah. Right? And I think it's perfectly okay when people move around within the organization. The fact of the matter is, if you don't provide that opportunity, they are going to move anyway.
Right.
So why not get them to move within the organization rather than...
Because you don't want to lose good people as well.
Yeah. Right? And typically, I think if you recognize the talent of your employees, you will try to work around their talent rather than to box them in a bureaucratic job description.
Okay. So with all that we've talked about, what are the key takeaways to ensure sustainable high performance?
I think the key takeaway is that we need to recognize the two important elements before we even talk about the stretch goal. And that is, number one, we need to recognize and identify the talent of our people. What motivates them? And secondly, we need to couple that with the relevant experience that will unleash their motivational energy. Mm. Right talent with right experience that will unleash their motivation. I think that is key. Mm. Because in order to get sustainable high performance, you need to build up the performer first.
All right. On that note, build the performer first, yeah? We've been discussing stretch goals versus stretch experiences. Joseph Tan from Lideronomics here with us. Hope to see you again soon. And you've been listening to Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.